1. Learning to slow down. A couple of years ago, I designed a custom training plan for a runner named Juan Carlos. He had been running for 3 years and was frustrated by a recent lack of progress. His 10K PR of 52 minutes and 30 seconds was showing troubling signs of permanence, and on his training runs, he was lately feeling lousy more often than not. "I can barely run 8 minutes 45 seconds per mile pace anymore," he told me via email. I explained to Juan Carlos that at his current level of fitness, he had no business running 8 minutes 45 seconds per mile, except in designated moderate intensity runs, which should have a small place in his training. A pace of 9 minutes 30 seconds per mile would be more appropriate for easy runs, I told him, and these should account for about 4 out of every 5 runs he did. Juan Carlos is not the first runner I've had to put the brakes on. In fact, nearly all of the runners who come to me for help are doing their easy runs faster than they should. It is also very common for runners to resist the edict to run slower. Many of them just find it hard to believe that slowing down in training will enable them to run faster in races. Juan Carlos sure did. More than once, after I had gotten him started on 80-20 running, he contacted me with questions like, "Is it okay if I run faster on days when I feel really good?" Each time, I counseled restraint and patience. 80-20 running is very simple. It has 2 components, planning and monitoring. The planning component entails creating or choosing a training plan that is based on the 80-20 rule. In other words, the plan should be set up so that roughly 80% of your total training time is spent at low intensity, below the ventilatory threshold, and the other 20% is spent at moderate to high intensity. The monitoring component entails measuring intensity during each run to ensure you are executing your 80-20 plan correctly. If you plan and monitor according to the simple guidelines I will present in later chapters, you will soon run better than you ever have. But there's an important first step that you must take before you dive into 80-20 running, and that is embracing the mostly slow approach. This acceptance of slower running needs to occur on 2 levels, in your mind and in your body. Embracing the 80-20 running mentally means that you are convinced intellectually that it works better than other training methods. I will present all the necessary evidence to show the clear and persuasive merits of 80-20 running in chapters 2 through 5. Embracing 80-20 running in your body means learning to slow down, which many runners, including Juan Carlos, find surprisingly challenging at the beginning, like removing a favorite junk food from the diet. Breaking the habit of pushing yourself during training runs takes some time, so I encourage you to get started right away, even as you continue to hear about the 80-20 method. In this chapter, I will show you how to take this first step. Let me begin, though, by explaining why it can be so hard, initially, to run easy. Caught in the middle. Suppose I were to ask you to stop listening to this book right now and run 5 miles at your choice of pace, but without wearing a watch. Chances are, you would settle into a pace very close to the pace at which you did your last easy run, and the one before that, and the one before that. Odds are, as well, that this pace would put you above the ventilatory threshold, in the moderate intensity zone. There are really 2 problems here. The first issue is that your habitual running pace is doing to you what it did to Juan Carlos, hindering your progress. The second issue is that this pace is habitual. It feels natural and has become as familiar as your stride itself through experience. For this reason, your habitual running pace carries inertial force. Like all habits, it is hard to break. Science confirms my observation that most runners push themselves in training most of the time. In 1993, Muriel Gilman of Arizona State University's Exercise and Sport Science Institute handed out heart rate monitors to a group of recreationally competitive female runners and asked them to wear the devices through 1 week of training. When the week was up, the researchers collected the monitors and calculated how much time the runners had spent in each of 3 intensity zones. Gilman placed the border between low and moderate intensity at the ventilatory threshold,